is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber, this is business, and this is Always in Fashion. Interesting, even though the intro to the show says the exact same thing, I open every show with those three sentences. I started doing it, I got used to it. Maybe it's pressure. But I guess, when you really think about it, I'm a creature of habit. In fact, I would venture to guess we're all creatures of habit. We're human, and humans tend to repeat what they like, stay with what they like, and definitely support those ideas, concepts, and just about everything that makes them comfortable. We are creatures of habit, and that will be the theme of tonight's show. Some of us like change, and actually will change. Our thoughts, our opinions, our presets. The quicker a person says they want to change, the last on line they are to actually do so. We're creatures of habit, and that is the subject for tonight's show. I am going to have fun tonight. I'm going to tell you some of my creature habits. We're going to discuss some business, certainly some fashion. We'll have a look at life as we discuss ourselves as creatures of habit. I know I'm wired in this regard. My behavior sometimes is almost shocking, but shocking with an explanation that just might make sense. And while you might laugh, I think you're going to have some fun, and I think you're going to find my explanations interesting. And in spite of me, a creature of habit to the 10th degree, I am and always will be a go-to guy for new ideas and change. Anytime I worked for a company that bought a new company or had to do something dramatically different, I was the guy they came to. I was the guy, the person, given the responsibility for change. Nonetheless, all these words, the subjects of habits and creatures of habit, my favorite creature and habit, Jesse Weber, my son and co-host.
That's the introduction I get? I'm a creature?
You could do better?
What am I, a gremlin?
You could do better?
I think so.
Let's hear it.
You complete me.
Yeah, that one was good. I thought that was a nice touch. But how about this one?
You make me want to be a better man.
Now, I got to say, you need me.
No question about it. I strive to create a show that's interesting and right for the two of us.
Now, that's better. See, why couldn't you just start off that way? You usually, a creature of habit, you give me a good introduction instead of calling me some sort of gnome creature at the beginning of this. I think the point is that I am comfortable with you and you're comfortable with me. I think we're both satisfied with being with each other. I think we compliment one another on the radio.
Well, those are important thoughts and feelings that drive us to repetition, to habits, and to become creatures of habit. Tonight on our show, before we go on, I have to ask, Jesse, because I'm a creature of habit. You like this subject?
Such a creature of habit question. You always ask me that. I do. But you know, I was thinking about it. I am a creature of habit in a very interesting way. You know what I'm a creature of habit in?
No, what?
Date spots. I gave this a lot of thought.
Date spots?
Yeah, I have like four date spots that I circulate. for years. I think for the last 10 years, I've been going to the last four spots. Each one represents something else, and people know the spot. So they're like, oh, that's a Mirandi's girl. That means it's a serious one. If I take someone to another place, it's just feeling her out, not sure what's going to happen. I feel comfortable there. I know what I'm going into. I know the layout. And each girl will go to one of those four first date spots.
Well, I think it makes sense. I said before when we opened the show that as creatures of habits, we deal with what we like and we deal with what we're comfortable with. And that's what I really want to explore tonight. Being that you talked about dates, I have a story for you. And before I tell it, I warn you that you're going to think I'm a little something, but it's a true story. And I think it'll give you an idea. And being that you love food so much, talking about dates and what have you, this is a story about food. When I used to go to work, get up in the morning really early, I mean, 6 o'clock. And right before I leave, Mommy would say to me, what do you want for dinner? I'm still half asleep. I just brushed my teeth. What do I want for dinner? So I would say, you know what? It's too early in the morning. I haven't even had my Diet Coke yet. I can't tell you what I want for dinner. Surprise me. So every night I would come home from work, and fortunately, my wife would make dinner for me, and she gave me an assortment of different things. Until one day, my wife happened to make roasted chicken. Do you remember this story?
No, I remember her roasted chicken.
Great, right?
Ugh, fantastic.
Juicy, unbelievable. I sit down at dinner at 7:30 at night. I got home early at that night. I start to eat this roasted chicken with peas and carrots, just in case you're paying attention.
That was important for everybody to know that.
The chicken was unbelievable. It was kind of like melting off the bones. It's hard to even chew. I could hardly even chew it because it was so soft. I didn't need to chew it. It was unbelievably delicious. And I said to my wife, I really love this dinner. She said, oh, thank you. I'm glad. You know, I had tried something there. I said, it worked. Here's what I want you to consider now. I want this for dinner forever. She started, what do you mean? I said, listen to me. I want roast chicken forever. I don't want you to ask me what I want for dinner anymore in the morning. I just want this roast chicken. She said, okay. 5 years. 5 years. Every night I came home for dinner, roast chicken. Mommy was funny with this. She said she became like one of those army guys who could field strip their weapon. You know, when you're going through basic training, they put a blindfold on you, you take your weapon apart and put it together. That's how she was in cleaning a chicken. She could do it at that point. After all of this time, she would take the chicken, throw it under, you know, clean out all the gizzards and whatever is in there and make this chicken. And for 5 straight years, I had the chicken. Now, would you say I'm a creature of habit?
If that's not an explanation, a perfect example for creature of habit, I don't know what is.
But then something changed. As luck would have it or not have it, I managed to gain some weight back and I was getting frustrated. And I decided, you know, I think I'm going to change it up. And I said, you know, why don't you make me fish one night? I think I need to lose some weight. Why don't you pick a fish? So my wife went in and bought halibut steak. Now, this is 5 years later. She bought halibut steak, and she bought hot sauce from Vincent's. Anybody know Vincent's in New York? Vincent's from Mott and Hester Street?
Well, it's also really great in Long Island, the one in Old Country Road.
It's a clam, what's it called?
Clam bar. It's a big family Italian restaurant. The portions are bigger than you could possibly imagine.
Well, when I was single, all those years ago, I used to go to the one in Little Italy on Mott and Hester Street, the greatest hot sauce in the world. But anyway, back to the current, I said, you know, I get halibut steak with a little Vincent hot sauce, and I would eat the halibut. Halibut almost has no taste. You put the hot sauce on, it was unbelievable. But that's not the story. Halibut, for those of you out there who ever want to go on a diet, is like the fish that eats up all the fat in you. You eat halibut every night, you will lose as much weight as you want, as fast as you want. You got to have the biggest piece you want, fill yourself up on it. It's great. 5 years. 5 years. I remember being interviewed one time. I was the president of PVH at the time, and the woman doing the interview, Karen Allberg, started asking me questions. She said, I've heard a rumor that you eat the same thing every night. I told her the story, and she printed it, and I heard this forever. So I had this forever, and I loved it.
Have you ever considered that you might be a little OCD?
No,
A little bit?
No. I know what I like. I'm a creature of habit. I can't help but tell the story because we're talking about lifestyle right now. We're talking about the fact that we're all creatures of habit. We're going to talk about business. We'll talk about some fashion. But in life, aren't we people that do the same thing over and over? And there's a reason for it. We get comfortable. But at the same time, you have to embrace change. I'll take a break right now. That's a change. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. In 1998, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Taryn Rose brought comfort to the world of luxury shoes. She was trained as a surgeon and knew that women deserved to feel comfortable in their shoes and developed shoes that were designed to make the human body comfortable. She partnered with design experts and tech innovation to create a collection of shoes that looked beautiful and yet they were incredibly comfortable. Taryn Rose footwear is about luxurious materials, sophisticated silhouettes, and comfort. They feature innovative comfort technology. Ladies, you want to be comfortable in your shoes. You want to be safe in your shoes. But more importantly, you want to look great in your shoes. Taryn Rose, developed by this brilliant surgeon. The Taryn Rose woman is refined and refuses to sacrifice comfort for style, or for that matter, style for comfort. These shoes are perfect for women who think on their feet, but not about their feet. Discover the latest Taryn Rose collection at TarynRose.com. Taryn Rose, the luxury of comfort.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber, and tonight we're talking about the things we do as creatures of habit. You know, we all say we like change, but it's not the rule. It's just not true. We fight change. We criticize change. Most of you out there are angry changers. You don't like change. You get comfortable with what you're doing. But that's okay. When it comes to ourselves, you don't have to change. But it's not so good when it comes to the world. But that's for later. For now, I want to talk brands and I want to talk style. Thomas Jefferson was quoted as saying, "In matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of principle, stand like a rock." While I couldn't agree more, you must stand up for your principles, I couldn't disagree more on style. And fortunately, you creatures of habit out there seem for the most part to agree with me. You see, YSL, another famous guy, French fashion designer, said it best. Fashion comes and goes, but style is eternal. Style and habit come into play in every facet of our lives. Let's take the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning.
Go to the bathroom? Is that what you're trying to go at with this?
Come on,
I don't think you want
give
to
me
talk
some
about
credit. Give me some credit. No, actually, bodily functions aside, I was going to talk about brushing my teeth. I want to talk about brands and style, and we will do it. I'm a Colgate regular guy, a Colgate original. I'm familiar with the taste, but it's not just that. I'm recognized, and I'm comfortable with the package. I know the tube. Frankly, the tube, the pressure required to dispense it, the toothpaste just feels perfect for me.
I think if you keep this up, you might be losing your mind.
Will you please give me a chance to make my point?
What's next? Dial soap?
No, actually, I use Safeguard, but I'll talk about that in another time. I know it sounds like I'm wrong here, but I'm making a point for you out there. I don't remember the last time I ever used, thought about, bought another toothpaste than Colgate Original. Think about that. I'm using this brand and this product forever. Don't you want customers like that? I have never, will nor I ever change my toothpaste. And here's the key. Consumers teach a penalty when you disappoint them. You don't deliver, you're finished. As long as a brand doesn't disappoint me, as long as the quality and comfort are there, I will stay with this product forever because I'm a creature of habit, and so are you. I want you to write this down. I'll wait a minute. Okay, this is important because we're talking about consumers now. We're talking about brands and people being creatures of habit. If you disappoint your customer, they are brutal. This is an important one to write down. You can have quality without value, but you cannot have value without quality. You see, quality is the experience, and it's what makes us creatures of habit. Get it right, you brand managers, and you will own your customer forever. You out there, you know it's true. Think about all the things and products you buy and how you get used to them and how you want to continue. My favorite story is underwear. You think I was crazy with toothpaste? Calvin Klein underwear. I got convinced by Calvin Klein, the commercials. I got convinced by Calvin Klein and Back to the Future. Marty McFly is in bed and they knocked out and they see him wearing Calvin Klein underwear and they think his name is Calvin. From that day on, I shopped for Calvin Klein underwear. And at the time, I loved their bikini briefs. And I wore them year after year after year and after year. The cotton was perfect. The fit was perfect. I loved them. I would never, ever, ever change them. But in this case, I did decide that at one point, those bikini briefs just didn't look right anymore. But boxer briefs did. These are those knit briefs that look like boxer shorts. They're a brilliant invention. Those of you who are followers of the show, I had John Varvatos here, who used to work at Calvin Klein, and he and Calvin were the ones who developed them. They came up with the idea. But here's the point of the story. I bought Calvin Klein. I could have bought them from anyone else, but because I liked Calvin Klein, I stayed with them. Because the quality was right, the value was right, I stayed with that brand. So yes, I'm a creature of habit. And yes, styles might change. And yes, I stayed with the brand that delivered for me. Jesse, you have any products that you like?
Yeah, a bunch. If you want to stick with clothing, Uniqlo, right? So with Uniqlo, obviously, their products change through season. But when I need something and I need a specific item, they are the first place I go to. They've been consistent for me. I've liked them from the very beginning. And yes, here and there, there'll be a couple of things that are questionable, and I sometimes want them to change their styles. But I am a consistent customer of them. My habit is to go to them first.
Hey, what about cars? You ever think about cars?
I do.
Jesse, you drive a Jaguar XKR. If I told you tomorrow you need to buy a company car for our business, which is the first brand you would look at?
Jaguar.
And why?
I've had it for years. Years. Reliable. Great design. Solid style. It's just been there for me. The quality's there. The prestige. Do I even have to explain it? It's Jaguar.
Precisely. We humans are creatures of habit as long as we are not disappointed. Disappoint your customers in business? That's when humans will charge you for that mistake. That's when they will divert their habit to a new brand. I want to give you a case in point, being that we're talking about cars. I always liked sports cars. Okay? Always did. That was my thing. I bought a Nissan 300ZX. It was my second or third in their series in 1990. It was great reputation, great style. That style would hold up now if you'd look at it. It would be a fresh-looking car today. They were quick, fast, and affordable. I bought a car every 2 years just to change the color once in a while until something happened. I was waiting for the new model. Don't hold me to the year. I think it was 2000. I was waiting, reading every car magazine, calling each dealership. When's it coming? When's it coming? I was crazed. I am a creature of habit, and I needed the new 300ZX until the new model arrived, and it was god-awful ugly. There was no style. There went my loyalty and my need for habit. Style caused me to leave my comfort zone. But the story gets interesting. Acura, You know those cars, Jess?
I remember your Acuras so well.
Acura had made the NSX.
Batman car.
Yeah, it was the first Japanese supercar. You could drive every day. It was beautiful. It was quick. It was comfortable. I drove a six-speed. I loved it. They didn't have a convertible when they first came out, and I won't drive a car unless the top comes off. But in 1995, I think it was, they took the top off. And even though this car was three times the price of a Nissan 300ZX, I wanted it. I went from 30,000 to 90,000. It was a stretch for me at the time, but Nissan lost me. And the truth is, I never, ever, ever looked back. And over a span of the next 10 years, this creature of a habit, me, bought five Acura NSXs. a black, a white, a charcoal, and a black. Until Acura committed, broke the cardinal rule for us creatures of habit. They discontinued the model. That's the other massive mistake that brands and marketers do to their customers. They discontinue that which you expect from them. They take a product that you love, that you've trusted, that you've been with, that you stayed with, that you were loyal to, and they discontinue. For you, that brand is dead. And for me, I never looked at an Acura car again. I've never been in a showroom. Thinking about this for a second, you remember what happened when Coke changed the Coke formula?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember what year. It was in the 2000s. They decided they had a better formula for the taste of Coke. Disaster. Pepsi loved the stupidity of Coke when they changed to the new Coke. A new taste, new can. Morons.
It's funny talking about this. Talk about fast food. Chipotle, I was a creature of habit, went there so many times during a week. Remember when they had that E. coli break?
Yep.
Done. They lost a lot of habitual customers, including me.
You cannot disappoint your customer, otherwise you're dead, because we're creatures of habit. You cannot underestimate the power of a creature of habit in our society. There is a reason, with all the incredible visionary luxury brands, that LVMH, Louis Vuitton does something interesting. While they have all these beautiful new handbags, leather, great closures, some of those fantastic creative genius going into their handbags, what is their big business? The logo handbag. They will never change it, and it'll always be there for you because they know what happens if they don't support the brand. You can't discontinue. You can do new and improved. You cannot forget we're creatures of habit. Make a product we like, and we will support you forever. Oh, and before I leave, and since Acura discontinued the NSX in 2005, I have not set a foot in their showroom. I will more importantly tell you the new NSX came back. Jerry Seinfeld did commercials. Jay Leno's Garage wrote it up. It's one of the finest sports cars ever made and affordable compared to some of the other luxury sports cars. Me? I never spent even one second interested or curious about that car. I'm a creature of habit until you disappoint me. Then I'm just an angry creature. Be back in a moment.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber from Always in Fashion. I've talked to you before about the Van Heusen Flex Collar shirt, the shirt that moves with you when you move, the unbelievably comfortable Flex Collar expandable collar. I have great news from you from Van Heusen. They have now expanded from flex collars to entire collection of men's sportswear, pants, knitwear, and of course the flex collar dress shirt. If you're a casual Friday company, you still have to look right. You're still in business. You're still competing with everyone else around you. Now you could do it in style and comfort. Pants with stretch fabric and stretch technology that allow you to be comfortable whatever your activities are that day. And all the shirts and all the sportswear that you can now buy under that Flex collection are uniquely you. Great looking style, great comfort from Van Heusen, the Flex collection.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Thank you. This is Mark Weber and Jesse Weber. This is Always in Fashion, and tonight we're talking of all things the business of habit. You see, I have a statement to make. We are all creatures of habit. Some of it sometimes sounds like we're crazy. Some of it sounds like we don't like change. We also know as marketers that if you change your product, you better be careful. We're talking about lots of things as it relates to creatures of habit tonight. This is a business show, and in that the name of the show says Always in Fashion, I want to talk about fashion and my story of a creature of habit. And before you say anything, Jesse, there's logic to what I do, okay?
I don't know.
I'm
worried about you. You're acting a little crazy on this show.
Well,
your consistency, just, while it may make sense to you, might alarm other people.
Listen, I've always been able to look in the mirror and kind of know what I look good in and what I don't look good in. I've tried, I've experimented, I learned my lesson the hard way. Any one of you out there who goes out with an outfit that you just don't feel right about, you don't feel comfortable, the color doesn't suit you, it hurts, it's too tight, it's too loose, you look at yourself, you're going out. And those of you who want to be peacocks on a given night, go watch what Hollywood does on any of those award shows. These clothes, these strange clothes. Women do them, men do them, they can't feel good. I've made those mistakes like anyone else until one day I was getting dressed for work. I happened to have a mirror on my closet door, and I wore a navy suit, a white shirt, navy tie, and I looked in the mirror and I said, oh my gosh, I look great. By the way, black shoes, black socks, as you should. You know, whoever started this brown trend, I'd like to banish from the country.
Orange trend. It's orange brown shoes.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, back to me. I'm standing in front of my mirror. I'm wearing a navy suit, white shirt, navy tie, black shoes. I look in the mirror and I say, my gosh, I look good. And I'm staring at myself and I said, you know, I can't look better than this. I just can't. And I'll never forget. It's such a true story. I called my wife over. I said, you got to look at me. Sue, you got to come over here and look at me. She came over. She looked at me. And I said, you see this? I can't look better than this. And she started to laugh. I said, from now on, I'm wearing this every day. Sounds crazy?
Yeah, I'm glad you recognized it. There's a difference between...
Hold off. There's a difference between what?
There's a difference between being a creature of habit and a crazy creature. I don't know which one you are yet.
All right. I looked in the mirror and I looked great. More importantly, I felt great about the way I look. Now, in those days, I was traveling very frequently to Hong Kong, and I learned about made to order. I learned about having suits custom made. And just around this time, yeah, I had a couple of navy suits. I went to Hong Kong, and I'll never forget, I had fitted suits made, five of them. Three single-breasted, two double-breasted, all the same fabric, all the same fit. I had them made tailored perfectly, like Seville Roll. I came home, they fit me like a glove. Now I had five plus the two in my house. The next thing I did is I numbered the suits, 1 to 7. At the same time, I used to have my shoes made in Hong Kong as well, tasseled loafers, pointy tassel loafers. I still have them all these years later. I must have made over 100 pair of those shoes during my tenure in Hong Kong and traveling on behalf of my companies. So I got home and I started wearing a navy suit every day. So I would change every day into one of the other navy suits, and it looked great. And I never thought about what I was going to wear in the morning. My life was getting very simple now. I had chicken every day for dinner. I didn't have to think about what I'd eat. And I knew what I would look like in the morning. I knew what I would put on. I had made shirts. I worked for the Van Heusen Shirt Company at the time, so our shirts were aplenty. I had a series of shirts made for me in white, all French cuff. Perfect. My next trip to Hong Kong, another five navy suits. This time all single-breasted. I had two double-breasted was enough. Now I'm up to 12 navy suits and numbered. I made two trips a year to Hong Kong at that time, and the least I would buy is three suits, all in navy. If you would walk into my closet, the entire wall was filled with navy suits, white shirts, navy ties, and these black tasseled loafers. Everything was numbered because I didn't want to wear the same thing every day, and I figured I have to figure out a way to keep track. So I'd get up in the morning, I'd pick suit number one, I'd write it down on my calendar. I knew I wore number one, shoes number two, and I had it all layered out. It was crazy, but it was great. I did this for 15 years. I never took another color suit, another color shirt, nothing. I just kept going. Now, if you want to talk about creatures of habit, this is the creature of habit to the 10th degree. So, Jesse, you okay with this one?
No, I'm not. I think you still sound pretty crazy.
Well,
there's a thing called variety.
Yeah, after 15 years, I did change it up a bit. I started custom making charcoal
suits. You're like the guys from Men in Black.
Yeah, I had the uniform, basically what it was, and I didn't have to think about it. And I took ribbings from everyone. Everybody thought I was nuts when I told the story, until one day, interestingly enough, I read an article about Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein wore the same suit every day because he didn't want his mind to wander to what he was wearing. He just wanted to focus on the theory of relativity. Now, I presume it wasn't the same exact suit every day, but it was the same color and everything. And I figured I was in good company. Now, the complication was people who didn't know me or people I work with, they thought I would wear the same thing every day, and I had to eventually. I would interview people. First thing I would tell them when they took the job, listen, you're going to see me wearing the same thing every day, but it's not the same thing. I want you to know that I change it up. It's not the same suit. I have them numbered. My shirts are numbered. My shoes are numbered. I have 40 ties in navy, different slightly shades. And that's how I did it. And that's how I say to you, the people are creatures of habit. And that's my style story for the night. Now, before I leave, just so you know, I never stopped. Springtime, summer is here right now. White pants every day. I have so many different styles because nobody makes enough of the same styles. I go into Polo to buy white pants. If I find a style, I want to buy 10 of them, except they only have two in my size. So I have sizes and styles from everyone, but you will not find me without white pants in the summertime. And frankly, I have a closet full of white sneakers. My sneaker of interest right now is Adidas. I've talked about them before versus Nike. You can't compare the clothes. Adidas has everyone beat. Those three stripes and the way they apply them and the materials and the colors, Adidas is on fire, and they deserve to be because they're taking care of their customers. So, yeah, I'm a creature of habit. We all are. And I wanted you to think about that for a while because when we come back, we're going to talk some more. How about some business?
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And I love a product where form follows function. If you are a fan of the NFL, the National Hockey League, or Major League Baseball, you like clothes that speak to your team, that allow you to be great fans, that allow you to get into the action and feel a part of it. There is a collection called Hands High Apparel, brought to you by Jimmy Fallon. These clothes are inventive sports team clothes that you will love wearing when you go to those games. And I got news for you. When you're not there and you want to look casual and you want to have a good time, speaking to your team, Hands High by Jimmy Fallon is for you. The techniques they use to print, the treatments on the sleeves, the arms, the back, these are great-looking products that really tell a story, that allow you, the fan, to be part of that team. Hands High Apparel. Check it out at your local stores, guys. You're going to love it. Go online, and you'll see it as well. Hands High by Jimmy Fallon.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber, agent for change. Tonight we're talking about creatures of habit. We are creatures of habit. You don't think about it because we all say we like change, we like to vary it up, but I'll tell you what, when you stop and think about what you do every day, the same coffee, the same breakfast, the same foods, the same things that you like. We like the same thing. We get comfortable. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it if you manage it properly. And when you think about it, when you really think about it, this conversation about creatures of habit takes place throughout our lives. I certainly want to talk about Mission Impossible, and for sure, I want to talk about business. Jesse, what do you think the reason is for all these remakes and these sequels?
When they know they have a good thing, why are they going to change it? But it's tough. It's tough because it's so hard to get the original right. You have movies, excellent sequels, excellent sequels. Godfather 2, Dark Knight, you know, and we played the Mission Impossible. The sixth one in the franchise could have been the best one of them all. They know what people like. They keep the same formula and they keep it going. Look how many Fast and Furious movies they're doing because people, they know what they want. But then the ones that just don't work out, I mean, they try to change things too much. They try to make it different, different story, different characters.
You're like who?
Okay, how about the Matrix sequels?
They were great.
What? The Matrix was an amazing first movie. Amazing.
I disagree. And I thought all three were amazing. I didn't like where it ended up, but it was amazing.
True Detective. Brilliant first season, terrible second season. Hangover. Amazing first movie. One of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And then 2 and 3 took this entirely weird turn. It wasn't funny anymore. It was really dark.
And people stopped going because they're creatures of habit and they expect it.
Exactly.
Well, there's a reason I started with that song, and there's a reason that Jesse and I are talking about it, because we are creatures of habit, and that's the theme for tonight's show. You might not think you are because you talk about change. Because this is a business show, it's time to talk business and careers. We are all creatures of habit, and in business more so than anywhere else in life, and we should be. Having the right business habits will lead to success. The obvious habits. Jesse, you want to take a shot at some of the obvious habits we creatures of habits should define for ourselves in business?
Sure. Let's see how I do here. Well, I think you got to present yourself well. That's a given. It's not just being able to speak, but also, well, you have to be well-groomed. You have to be well-dressed. Appearances matter. We always say it. It's not fair, but appearances matter. You got to be on time, no matter what job you have. I would say be earlier than you think. Never want to be late. Have to be a hard worker. It goes without saying, no matter what you do. It's important to have a positive attitude. I don't care what you're feeling like that day, how you woke up. You go to work, you have to have a positive attitude. Willing to take on any assignment. You want to be the go-to person. We've talked about that on so many shows. Be the go-to person. Now, I'd consider those the basics. Get in those habits, and you'll be on your way.
Very well thought out, Jesse. I think you are correct. Those are really, really important. They should be second nature to all of us. You should be a creature of habit. Every one of those things should be in your mind. But here's one we've never talked about on the show. You need to be organized. You need to be on top of everything you need to get done. And now I want to talk to you about this, the concept of being organized. The military has got it right, as it would apply to business. You develop your skills, and whenever you're called upon to deal with those issues, your skills take over. You get it done because you are a creature of habit. It comes up in life and in sports. It's said that practice makes perfect. I say practice means automatic. You want to be set up so that you have the answer. You're ingrained. You're brainwashed in business. You know what to do when the situation comes up. Here's a couple of quick examples of what you should or should not do, for example, based on your training. Someone comes into you and says to you, I must have your sign off now. If you don't have time to think, your answer is no. No one could push you to make a decision you're not ready for. You need to think it through. And I love the look on someone's face when you say to them, no. They stutter. No, I'm not giving you an answer. Your training kicks in. You're entitled to facts and your time to think. That's where you need to be a creature of habit. Money and expenses. You don't give concessions to anyone when it comes to money. When you're an executive with a company, or it's your own company, someone comes in and says, look, it's too expensive, or I need a bigger raise, or the answer is always, no, it's your money. And if it's not, it's your company's money, which you should treat as your own. That's how you need to organize based on your creature of habits. Have in your head it ingrained. That's your skill. That's your training. I mentioned before that this is really a subject about organized. How do you get everything done? How do you organize your time? How do you create habits? The simple tool for being organized is the to-do list. Do you all have a to-do list? The military and politics of all places gives a wonderful outline and a process for staying organized. Organized on those things that are most important. Jesse, do you know who Dwight Eisenhower was?
President of the United States. He was the general who was in charge of winning World War II.
And because of that success and because of the enthusiasm that they had for Ike, as he was called, he pretty much ran for president and made it easy. But I want to tell you, of all places, there's something called the Eisenhower Matrix. You see, this great general found a way to really organize himself to get things done. The Eisenhower Matrix, it's basically a system designed for you to focus on your productivity. He was made popular in one of my favorite books on business, one of the only ones, the highly successful, The Seven Habits, talk about this show, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And the Eisenhower Matrix was featured in there. You see, it's about four different concepts that help you decide on and prioritize what's important and what's urgent. And I want to take you through them very simply. They set up quadrants. The first quadrant in the Eisenhower Matrix. By the way, this is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. We're discussing creatures of habit. We're discussing business right now. And in this case, I'm talking about being organized. The Eisenhower Matrix, four quadrants on how to get organized from this great president. Quadrant one is those things are important for achieving your goals. They should be at the top of your to-do list. We should spend the majority of time on the tasks in this quadrant because these are the ones that are required to get the job done for you. Quadrant two, they include deadlines. There are crises and problems. They require your immediate attention. And they're also important for your goals. These would include urgent emails and dealing with the deadlines you must do. They should be proactively eliminated from your list. If they weren't in quadrant one, they're in quadrant two. You got to get them done. Quadrant three, they're not important and they're not urgent. Every one of us comes across all this time-wasting stuff. They don't even help achieve your goals. They make you think about stuff you don't want to think about, somebody's needs. Yeah, I'm sure they're important to someone, but basically, it's mindless stuff like browsing through the social medias or surfing the web, playing video games, watching television. Let's be honest. If you spend your majority of your time on this box, I say you're never going to be focused. You're always going to be distracted. You'll never be successful. You need to understand what isn't important and isn't going to help you reach your goal. And then last but not least, the quadrant four is urgent but not important. There are many things that are urgent. They interrupt us, but they don't help us achieve our goals. They don't help us get to where we want to get to. Responding to urgent emails, phone calls, messages, friends, family, work, the danger with activities in this quadrant, they can be deceptive and appear to be important. You need to weed them out. They give us a sense of achievement, and you cross them off your list, but it's a waste of time. You need to know what needs to be done to get your job and reach your goals. That is what the Eisenhower Matrix is. You find that interesting, Jesse?
Yeah, I never heard that one before.
Most importantly, I'm talking about a to-do list. You make out a list of all those things you need to do. And every time a new one comes up, you put it at the bottom of the list. And as you go through them, you have to determine, as Eisenhower did, which ones are urgent to get the job done, which ones are important right then and there that have a deadline, and which are not so important. That is what you need to get the job done. And last but not least on this subject is delegating. I used to work for a brilliant, brilliant man. He's one of my favorite bosses of all time. I used to walk into his office and he drove me crazy. The CEO of the company. I knew him when he was the president of the company. Never had a single piece of paper on his desk. Never. My desk you walked in was like yours, Jesse. I walked in your office into law firm. I couldn't even see you under all the paper.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
Yeah. Well, he never had a single piece of paper on his desk. But what really made me jealous, he'd call me in and say to me, I want to talk to you about something. And he'd go to a file and find the exact right file in his drawer, put it out on the table. I never was able to do that.
Yeah.
And then he would put the file back when he was done and leave his desk empty. It used to drive me crazy. I'm so busy and this guy has nothing on his desk. But the truth was, he delegated. And that's the lesson I learned. Delegation is so important.
He delegated his secretary to put those files away.
Well, she did a great job, but yes. Delegation is really important because you can't be everywhere at every time. And it's also important because you have good people out there and they should be doing work. My view on delegation is never do anything yourself that someone else can do. Write that one down. Never do anything else that someone else can do for you. Now, that doesn't take away your responsibility. If you're in charge of sales, you don't have to make every sale, but you got to know what's going on in your sales department. If you're in charge of design in a fashion company and you have great designers working for you, at some point you bring them all together and you look at all the designs and you approve them or you don't. Delegating doesn't take away your need to be responsible because you are. You're accountable when you're in charge. You're accountable whatever comes across your desk, but someone else can do it. And I would tell you to strive for that empty desk. And the way to do it, hire great people. So between a to-do list, the Eisenhower matrix, and delegating, that is probably the most important creature habits you should develop.
Hey, before you go on to anything else, I had a couple of questions about this.
Okay.
There are two expressions that I've heard, and you talk about habits, and I want to get your thoughts on it. The first one is, don't fix if it's not broken. Don't fix it if it's not broken.
Lazy, lazy, and lazy. Okay? Now, on one hand, if things are running really well, you're making money, you're making great product, why change? Continue to do what you're doing well. I get it. But if you don't look for improvement, and if you don't look for the next great idea, someone else will. Time does not wait for the next great idea. It moves along. So yes, you have to be able to analyze what you're doing well, and you can continue it. But always look over your shoulder at what might be the next thing to get done.
All right, that's fair. I like that one. And it kind of ties into the next expression that I have. There's an expression, that's the way it's always been done. And in a night when we're talking about habits, there's value to that, I believe, when you say that's the way it's always been done, because it seemed to have been working up until this point. But then how do you make room for change? I guess I'm confused by that.
Anybody who tells you consistently that's the way it's always been done, they should be working for another company and certainly not for you. Yeah, that's the way it's always been done. But everything's changing. This world we are living in is changing at a pace we can't even keep track of. All the robots back out there, all the things going on, it is changing dramatically. And somebody who says that's the way it's always been done is lazy. That's their excuse for not wanting to learn and see what else is happening in the world. If it wasn't for Amazon, would we have this attention to online sales that we have now? They are forcing everyone into the online e-commerce business. The way it was always done, you walked in a store. You shopped in a store. You can't afford to sit there. Look at Zara. Fashion every second. Changing, changing, changing. Uniqlo, one of your favorites. Two of your favorites. Look how they keep changing, bringing new merchandise. That's not the way it was always done. If you're an always the way it was done person, you're a creature of habit in the worst kind of ways. As I said earlier, being a creature of habit is about developing skills for business and implementing without a moment's thought. You have it ingrained, like the military. You're trained. You know what to do. With that as a backdrop, we're talking Creatures of Habit. Be back in a moment.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And my favorite shoe brand, Acquitalia. Acquitalia is a very interesting shoe brand. Made in Italy. That's where the Talia comes from. And Acqua, they're waterproof. This is a collection of men's and women's shoes that are not only contemporary and styled brilliantly, but they're also waterproof. So you guys and gals, you don't have to change your shoes in inclement weather. And I should tell you how comfortable they are. Not only are they fashion and style right, but they're comfortable. You can wear them wherever you go. Acquitalia designs are contemporary, yet there's a classic feel to them. They're easy to wear. They're elegant, yet they're for every day. High quality and low maintenance. The true foundation of timeless wardrobe. Something you could wear every day and not worry about it. Acquitalia is footwear that is made for discerning men and women who make bold moves and want to look their best without sacrificing fashion or comfort. You should explore the latest collection of Acquitalia.com. Acquitalia has amazing styles, beautiful fabrics, beautiful silhouettes. You should really look for them. You can find and explore Acquitalia's latest collection at Acquitalia.com or visit the flagship store at 965 Madison Avenue in Manhattan. Acquitalia, A-Q-U-A-T-A-L-I-A. Wherever the weather goes, they will take you. Made in Italy and waterproof, the best combination. This is Mark Weber, and this is Always in Fashion. There is a brand called DKNY. It's Donna Karan, New York. I am familiar with it. I spent 9 years there as the CEO. If there's one thing I know about that brand, it's fashion and quality at the highest level. DKNY suits are navies, blacks, grays, charcoals. They're sensational. The shirts are whites and blues and beautiful patterns. The neckwear is very, very simple but very elegant. Right up my alley. I love those looks. And what they do for spring is they put in some shots of great color. Just the right tone of soft colors to make those fashion products and those basic colors look outstanding. DKNY outerwear also is something to marvel at. You have the right piece of outerwear, it makes a statement. Simple, elegant, contemporary, and right, but it tells a story. And DKNY outerwear is amazing. The fall stuff was great. Now the follow-up for spring really, really looks sensational. You can find DKNY at Macy's or online. Go find it. I'm telling you, this is my recommendation. As I said, 9 years working there. I know how good it is.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Is always in fashion. I start every show saying that, even though my intro says it. But I do it because I'm a creature of habit. I stay with what works for me. We all are creatures of habit. We should be creatures of habit. We're trained, we're taught, we know what's right, we know what's wrong. I see a stop sign, I stop. I'm trained. I know how to behave. But yet, in spite of being creatures of habit, we have to embrace change. The world is changing. We need to be new and improved. We take advantage of that inborn training, the skills that we have in business and life, and we should. And those of us who are involved with products, after all, we're all consumers, will stay with a product we like forever, as long as that product does not disappoint. You disappoint one of your customers, you're going to pay a heavy price. There's no substitute for good taste. There's no quality without value. There's no value without quality. Tonight, we explored creatures of habit. Some might say, I'm a crazy creature. But if you listen closely, there was a method to my madness. And if nothing else, it's because I'm skilled and trained. And I make my decisions based on what I've learned. With that, Jesse and I say thank you for listening. And if you're good creatures of habit, you'll be back next week with us. Good night.
Thank you for joining Mark Weber and Always in Fashion. See you next week.